Welcome to Limitless with Lisa Z, a podcast about how to move from inspiration to action and bring our dreams to life. I'm Lisa Zahia, and each week I'll release two podcasts, one where I walk you through action steps about how to make your dreams a reality, with another podcast in which I interview amazing changemakers from all over the world. This podcast isn't just for listening. Take notes and take action. Let's ignite and change the world together. Hello, this is Lisa Zahia, and welcome to Limitless with Lisa Z. Today we have a very, very special episode with somebody who inspires me and who's very close to my heart, and I'm so excited to start sharing stories of people I have met on my travels. Today I have interviewed Shahad Altokaim, and she is a coach and amazing, inspiring human who is based in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And this conversation is amazing and inspiring. I met Shahad in Riyadh. She generously offered, after we met on LinkedIn, to meet me and took me out to dinner with amazing hospitality. And we had dinner on a rooftop of a sushi restaurant under a full moon, and I met a soul sister. And she talks about her identity and her beliefs and was so honest and amazing in this podcast. I'm so excited for you to hear this and hopefully get inspired and learn new things about amazing women and amazing women in Saudi Arabia and all the changes that are happening there. And stay tuned and let us know what you think. Shahad, I'm so glad you're here with me today. Thank you. And I always start by asking the same question first. What inspired you today?
I'm really glad to be here with you too, Lisa. Thank you so much for the invitation. And I really like this question of what inspired me today. Today, we were stuck in traffic, my husband and I, in the morning. We were finding little moments of humor in that. So it was just so hilarious and funny, although we were both late. And I found that really inspiring. Like sometimes the things that annoy us or really push our buttons are thought of as things that are hindrance moments. But it really brought so much levity and lightness to the day that I really appreciated.
I love that. I think that oftentimes something I've been working on is like flipping things over. So, mm-hmm. I mean, living in Riyadh, there's a lot of traffic. We were just talking about it's really hot. So like anytime in a situation like that, I can start to get really irritated. So I think it's such a beautiful practice to think, what else can I do with this? Where's the joy?
Exactly. And it came very organically and naturally. And I think this way of reframing and saying the joy and the part where you're giggling and you're just finding this hilarious, because we saw the roadblocks for a couple of times and then a couple of really petty accidents where people were really arguing and it's super hot and we're like, oh no, this is horrible. And it's so funny. So I just enjoy that. And I've been just in this very much. I've been feeling more discomfort in my body and things are changing. So I'm also appreciating those moments and finding that inspiring. So I'm 14 weeks pregnant and I've been having a bit of nausea. So mild, thankfully, thank God. But it's been also a sign that the baby is growing and it's a healthy, I guess, normal thing to expect. So it's also something to anchor back that there are like growing pains, sometimes quite literally, and there's discomfort, but there's this sense of, and something I've been really inspired with, like generally overall is a bigger concept of holding our discomfort, our intensity, our attention, and what happens in the gap in between. And the spaces in between and the areas where we meet our edges. And those edges can be really harsh, but sometimes they soften, sometimes they change. Sometimes this gap that we meet ourselves in becomes bigger or smaller or completely changes in regards to where we see it. And it's been something that I've been feeling quite a lot because I know I'm in this huge rite of passage and transition. and space of really huge change that is transformative. And I can feel it vibrating, like in myself. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like yet. And I am very much taking that space of really feeling this sense of space in between and gap. That's been inspiring me a lot lately on overall kind of bigger picture.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, you know, like, congratulations, you're about to enter motherhood, which is amazing. But just this idea that you bring up is that as we birth things, as we bring things into light in a variety of ways, like, it would be concerning if it wasn't uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I think about that with myself. I'm like, oh, I'm moving into something new with a work project. Like, it should be uncomfortable. And that's such a good reminder. Thank you. And I also love that you were inspired by something like this moment with your husband, and that it doesn't always have to be like the day I saw the moonlight on the lake. You know, like, it's this little beautiful moment with the person you love that can be totally inspiring.
Exactly.
Do you actively like look for things like that through the day?
I bring my awareness to what happens, especially as I spoke of the tension or the discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I always look at that and pause for sure. Sometimes it does not happen naturally and it's not always laughs and giggles, but I do take the moment to pause for sure. And that is something that I do actively. Do I look for things actively? I feel like being in the moment rather than looking or searching feels more grounded for me, that just being present with whatever there is and whatever arises. And sometimes what arises is, you know, a sense of expansion, a tightness, whatever we feel on a somatic body level as well. Something that I enjoy teaching women as well, because once we are body oriented and we anchor in our own knowing, even if we don't know how to name it yet or what exactly this is, but to not ignore it, there is always a spark or a beginning that I sense. And this is something that I feel is important to orient towards. And that's what I actively do.
Yeah, I love that you said you always take a pause, which requires being present. Because if I'm reflecting on something or rushing, I don't have that time. Do you have active practices or things that you teach about ways to stay present?
I don't maybe directly say that, but I feel the work through the psychodrama and applied theater, because it is very much embodied in the body, and we concretize and use the body as a vehicle to, for example, express a certain role that has the feeling of rage, for example, and where it feels and where it resides. And I often, whenever something is quite intense, I notice where it also feels in my body. For example, if it's in my chest, if it's in there. So this mindfulness awareness is part of the questioning and style that I have. But again, it's not direct, but it's very much infused. And I feel the way I am or teach or see the world is very integrative. So I am very spiritual. I come from very traditional, very rooted roots of Islam that I find incredibly beautiful. I am Muslim as well. So the practices there, when done in a present, full space, really bring your awareness to the moment and to whatever is true and alive. And what is alive does not mean it's pretty or nice. And sometimes that's what is required for us to see. I infused different things. And oftentimes I feel I have seasons, meaning something I've been also contemplating is that I do have a routine, but it changes from time to time. And something that I've been grappling with is also the need of change soon, with a baby, of course, that I will probably be more abiding to. Schedules, but I feel that sometimes we go to extremes to find balances. that's been kind of my pattern in life. Like I experience these very intense, really internal experiences for me. And then that brings me to this balanced space that is in the middle, but it requires to feel it all. And so one practice I do is whenever there is something that I feel stuck in my body, I lie down on the floor, I breathe into it, sometimes ugly cry, and sometimes it is something that I need to increase to the peak, and then it kind of subsides. So that is just something that I happen to have as a practice whenever I feel that there's some stuckness that is there.
I love that. I think that what I'm noticing in you describing, we're going to get to your background, your personal practices, is like a very feminine approach to to change and personal development. And I know we've talked about this before, and it just really strikes me, having been in the self-development world, which can be very masculine. And then like you get up at 6 a.m. and you do 20 push-ups. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
5 a.m. club.
I know. Yeah. I was like, but what if I'm tired? This is a large question. Like, where did that come from with you? And where did you like start to approach your work in that way?
I love that observation. Thank you for naming that. I don't think it came from one specific practice. I've been in the healing space of my own personal journey ever since I've been 21. So that's almost 9 years now. And just being in this space, I've experienced a lot that resonated, things that felt icky, things that felt right, things that on a kind of a instinct, intuitive level, you know, is true. And the embodiment very much in my body, my physical body, I struggled a lot with food, things that we spoke of before, and just really existing in my body. I remember that I had a very difficult relationship with food because it was substitute for love and comfort and pleasure. And I swallowed my feelings very much. And I did not realize this. And due to factors within my childhood and aspects about my life, it came through in that way. I'm the eldest daughter. I'm the independent, dependable one, right? Mm-hmm. I'm the co-pilot. And as that kind of unfolded, it just made me really need to hold it in. And that literally was the aspect that I really lived through, meaning that I was quite overweight, but it was accumulated over the years. And it wasn't in a healthy way that I felt was connected. I was actually very disconnected. So it was a way to disassociate and numb. And uncovering that and really understanding that, and when food becomes your mother or when food becomes your father, and then you really look into your generational wounds and all the things that you really longed for and yearned for, that to me was a whole process that took quite a few years. And coming back to my body was something that bringing tears to my eyes was so powerful. I really was very disconnected from my body. It wasn't through like a specific experience or one thing. It took years for me to reclaim the space of my earthly existence. Because you're very right. I was told by quite a few healers, leaders, coaches, whatever, that I exist in the clouds and I float, and you know, you're incredibly spiritual, you're there, you're very connected to the higher ups, which is, as women and the feminine essence, it comes easily to us to go there, to connect to that. Not like the masculine that is very grounded, rooted, tangible. I was very much in that world. And even the way I described myself, like I'm a spirit of light. I never used earthly physical terms that grounded me in this reality, in this physical world. I don't think I've ever answered this question. I don't think I've been asked in this way. So it's a beautiful unfolding for me to share it in this way. Thank you so much. I'm just appreciating this moment. But it really was coming back to my body and the essence of the spirituality that was always with me. And I remember it ever since I was like a seven-year-old kid. I would like travel the world through my imagination, but sometimes I felt like my spirit did this, like I could see things and I could feel things. And I would speak to, I don't know if there were figments of imagination or maybe I spoke to some beings, who knows? But I do feel like this came more naturally to me. I was always connected to that, but to the point it went to an extreme that I wanted to just live in that existence. And that is not where our souls here are here for. Our souls are choosing to come here for a reason in this experience, in this physical world, in this material aspect. So I feel that's how I came to be where I am today.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think that also I hear you on the food. I think that to me, I see that like the ultimate journey of a lot of women is making peace with their body. And hopefully like, yeah, starting to exist within it and not, you know, for me, it was like existing outside of it in judgment. I also had similar places where I realized something what I'm hearing from you is that I had to heal in that like falling in love with myself had to come before changing. And that's where like in self development, I just hear change, 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 change. And we have to heal first.
That's very true. I remember I used to say that it wasn't even falling in love with myself. I used to hate myself. So I had to move from hate to kind of a neutral state, from a neutral state to like, you know, if you will, and from like to love. So that took a journey. And you cannot just jump to love when you feel like you abhor and detest your body and the existence in it. To me, it wasn't even the sense of existing outside just that, but it felt like it did not exist. I did not even acknowledge my body. I did not even really feel that it was important to feel or sense or be or to take care or to, and it was an act of rebellion in many ways. So whatever was criticized, I'm abandoning in a way. So I know it was so painful to exist and to hear what I used to hear and to feel what I used to feel within in terms of body image and food. And a lot of our parents come from a loving place. They're doing the best they can, but oftentimes can be incredibly damaging without them really knowing, and their overprotectiveness or fear becomes that inner critic voice that is incredibly harsh, and then we amplify it hundreds and hundreds of times. So it felt like it was too painful to exist. And I literally felt that for a long time. It was a difficult time to remember because it was exactly what I wanted. It was too painful to exist. I did not want to exist in life.
Thank you for being brave enough to talk about it, because I think that it's such a universal theme for women. And when I talk about my eating disorder, I always say that it's like a whirlpool that I used to get sucked into. And now I'm on the other side of the pool, but I can feel it. And that feeling is what allows me to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's like there's empathy in understanding myself that allows me to have empathy for other people.
100%. And it's this immense pain and heartbreak and heartache and just allowing your heart to break again and again and again to heal that allowed me to actually step into the space. It really was that I fully am with you. And I think it's a superpower. I used to feel it was a weakness to be so sensitive and to feel so much and to have this empathy. But then when we had this reframe, I used to work with mentor of mine that really recognized that as at an early stage of this healing process. And that shifted my whole journey. And it became kind of like a mission to use this as power and support specifically for women.
Yeah, I love that. Is the work you were doing to heal yourself, is that how you got into coaching? And like, you have so many interesting things that you do. Is that, how did you start coaching?
That's a great question. And yes, you're right. It was through this recognition. I remember that the mentor that I worked with, who was a clinical psychologist, worked specifically with highly sensitive people. And I did not really know what that was or hear anything about that. So just recognizing that it's okay to feel lower sometimes. It's okay to be highly sensitive. And that is a superpower. And that he told me, you're a natural healer wherever you decide to use these powers. And these are gifts. I feel these are innate gifts that existed and they exist within us. We usually find sparks of them in childhood. And I definitely had that. So remembering and anchoring back to really young child me was so beautiful because she was the helper and supporter and she loved doing it, you know, as a kid in school, looking for lost faces and people that felt confused and trying to just be there for them, really, more than anything else. And I remember even rebels at school, like teachers would warn me, like, don't go hang with her because she would influence you in a bad way. And I'm like, how are you judging as a teacher? That's not okay. So I appreciate that I also rejected the sense of exclusion. I already knew how painful that was, and I did not want that. So again, there were a lot of innate things that existed. And just going back to that, in 2017, that's when I decided I wanted to officially enter this world as a professional that can offer this. And it really was to concretize something and move away from my business background. So I graduated with a finance degree. I did not exist in that world in any way. But it was something that I just wanted as a transition to allow me to say, hey, here I am, and I'm here to support.
Amazing.
This podcast is brought to you by Coaching with Lisa Zahia, a business development company which provides strategy, coaching, and staffing support to mission-driven businesses. We help create bold and impactful businesses and to help the founders become the people who can do it. Curious about how to grow your business? Schedule a free consultation at www.chatwithlisaz.com. www.chatwithlisaz.com.
Who are your primary clients? Like, who do you usually work with?
That changed over the years. Interestingly enough, I used to work in like toxic masculinity in the beginning, and I used to work with a lot of men and help them connect with their feminine side.
Their brave women.
It's really interesting because they would prefer a woman anyway to open up and to have this space. And it was really interesting. So that shifted a couple of years after I started. And my primary client now definitely is women overall. And I think when I speak of womanhood and the intricacies that we all experience in this world, and also being in such a huge transition myself, I've always felt the world does not cater for womanhood. So many different ways that is endless. And that's a whole other podcast on its own.
Yeah, right.
So, yes. So I'm also here in the Middle East overall, but Saudi specifically, there's been immense, immense, incredible changes that I am just so grateful to be part of. Things have shifted for women 180 degrees, and I am proud and I am grateful to be here to witness this change and to also empower, because there are so many women leaders are coming through, so many people that are so young as well. 70% of the population is under 30. So feeling that there's this energy that you just feel it. There's just this momentum. And because things changed drastically, and that is like putting it lightly, exponentially, astronomically fast, it happened in a way where I don't feel like we've been able to process things properly. Mm-hmm. and we haven't been able to integrate as well. And to not forget our feminine essence, I think, is something very important, because there's this immense energy of change. And as you mentioned, well, there are stages to change. You don't just jump to it, and then you have to come to yourself and not abandon yourself, and to feel that there is this sense of not needing to eradicate your womanhood or to hide or to shape shift. I feel the hustle culture wasn't really part naturally of this culture, but I think with globalization and everything that's been happening now, it's everywhere. So you do see it. And you see sometimes very toxic behaviors being glorified. So I feel just the loneliness that sometimes when you're connected to your own feminine knowing and intuition. And I had this conversation with my best friend who was saying, like, the woo-woo stuff, Shahan, I feel crazy sometimes because everyone is KPIing and scrumming and doing all the things that... It's very ingrained in the masculine, and there is no archetype and no model for the womanhood wisdom. And I feel the call that I'm being called for, or this initiation that I'm also feeling that is taking process as well, is that there's a different reality, a new reality that has not been birthed yet, even. So even the work that I'm doing right now, I'm sensing there's something that is not there yet. Because birth, as you mentioned, it's also the birth of your business. And it's very much connected to our womb space and our creativity. It does not come from the mind. It comes from a much, much, much more knowing life force anchored space. And that to me is what I know that the work that I'm, whatever modalities and tools and aspects that I'm using is really there in that world. In knowing that we have choice, because sometimes we feel like we don't have choice. And oftentimes, even if we choose that, we feel super lonely. So again, I want to create the space for a woman to know that, no, you're not crazy. No, you're not alone. No, you're not feeling this way. It's not just you. And that is just so important.
I think that's so interesting. And also, yeah, what an exciting time. You know, when I was there earlier this year, there's so many Western misconceptions, but people were like, how was it? Like this sort of side eye. And I was like, it was great. What a beautiful place. But mostly I was like, wow, those women are impressive. So many amazing women I met were like doing interesting things. But I think about in my lifetime, it's, we might qualify ourselves as progressive, which we could question some things. It's like they say female leadership, and there was like the power suit, and it all felt very like an imitation of the masculine. So yeah. I'm super interested in seeing here, there, like what it looks like when we lead from intuition, feeling, like what actually is feminine leadership. And so it's so interesting and amazing that you're working in that space. And what an amazing time.
Yes.
Wow. And in seeing all that happen, can you tell me what is applied theater? Because when I saw that you did that, I was like, I want to go to theater.
Yeah, of course. So originally I trained also my co-founder and partner that we started our business. We've just registered this year. We found a company called Masraha, which means the activation of theater in Arabic. It's like a play, a word, Masrah. Masrah is theater. But Masraha is almost like the verb form of the word. And it was a long time coming. It's something as well that has been slowly cooking as we started this journey. In, I think, 2019, we took this foundational year in psychodrama. She was in New York. I was in London. And it was a whole journey. And psychodrama is used for so many different reasons. That it can be used for therapy, community building, conflict resolution, whatever the context is. But it really merges different psychological modalities into the applied theater, meaning we use action. We use active aspects of really embodying and concretizing and using our voice, our bodies. And it felt really powerful. It felt something that sometimes, you know, skips 10 steps compared to just speaking or talking. So it really is intense. And I know it's not for everyone, but the intensity also just something that really attracted me. And then, of course, it was my own journey with that and different trainings like Theater of the Oppressed or Playback Theater, which are all different forms of playing theater, meaning that we also explore the stories or the narratives that the group has. Sometimes there's a problem or an issue that is socially rooted that a group shares. So coming together and reenacting and role-playing and role-reversing and looking at the voices that are behind, meaning what's in the shadow, what is not being said, is something that we can play with. And I love, and I purposely use the word play, because playfulness is what we root our work in, like where playfulness meets depth, where creativity meets healing. And I feel that maybe that's more of that feminine essence flow and more of that space of the unknown and really opening up in not expecting a specific result, but it brings so much to just play and to allow this space. And the different applied theater modalities are merged in our work. So we took a couple of like courses and certifications here and there, but it's not just one thing. And depending on the group and what we're feeling and what we're sensing, we co-create together and we really build what is in the moment. And it is very much that. So we always start, well, we have an idea of what we want to do, but we have no idea of what's going to actually happen. And that's always our mantra as well of how we start.
I love that. I mean, I think about, for me, in many years of my life, I just told a coach or a therapist what I thought they wanted to hear. And I had one of the biggest breakthroughs doing equine therapy, which is with a horse. Because, you know, that horse was a little smarter than me physically. And was like, you know, I was sort of so tense the whole time and the horse was like, well, I'm not doing anything. And it reminds me of this in that when we have play, when we get out of essentially the head into the body, start to, whether it's theater, it's dance, it's equine therapy, like it's so healthy. And I think it can allow us to discover things we probably either weren't willing to go towards or like didn't even know were there.
Exactly. Yes. And this is why I say it's not necessarily theater. There are so many options there for us. That's what called me personally and what I love doing and what I enjoy because I want to have fun. And I tell this to clients as well. Like part of this is having fun and to enjoy it. And yes, we sometimes cry, but we learn too. And there is this sense of openness that I sometimes also feel that is not there. Like there is only this one way or this one model and you need to follow this. If not, you're broken. And I like to always encourage people that, no, there is so many pathways and infinite possibilities. So again, there is a different key for us. It can look and have a different color. So that's important.
Yeah, I think just that, like, I love that you said fun because I always am asking people, like, where's the joy?
Yes.
Let's have fun, you know, and nothing really makes me feel more alive than joy. So I think that that's important. And we can get so serious about changing and this and that. And I'm like, that's, you know, as a dance teacher, I saw so much change from people just having fun.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Aside from like a major life altering event, a child, what else, like, what else would you like to do with your work? Do you have any big vision or plans for it?
I'm sensing a change, as I mentioned, in the work itself, and it is oriented definitely towards women. Mm-hmm. And we would want to, I know, like, currently we're doing an in-person group in Riyadh that is like a closed women group. Mm-hmm. And it is to explore all these themes, to embody it, to talk about it, to do all the applied theater stuff in it, and to really have this womanhood support that I've been longing for the longest time. And there are themes that are emerging. I spoke to most of the women that are interested in this work, and there are themes of the masculine and feminine coming up each and every time. And how to trust, how to feel into our intuition. What is it? How can I rely on them? And I feel this type of work is also taking shape as the world changes and grows. But I've also been feeling this big, big shift, or let's say a desire to play. And I feel this is connected to, of course, a child spirit that is coming in. But playfulness is already in my work. But I want this expansion of playfulness in a way that we all need as adults. So this applies to both men and women. And I do work with both. So there is a specific focus on women for sure. But then there's an expansion of like, how do we come together? That I think is important, because we need to also have these conversations and dialogues. They're important. And I feel there is this sense of, again, the levity maybe that I spoke of in the beginning, the sense of, well, sometimes it's even vulnerable to be silly. And I know this is true for so many people that I know, and something that I want us to just like lose this tension in our shoulders, you know, to feel and to be at ease. But there is this playfulness that I think is taking shape in my work. And I think right now, with, of course, stepping into motherhood, I'll be a student of that, I feel, and I'll be learning from a being that just purely embodies that. So I know this is something huge coming in as well.
It's so exciting. I think that the other thing that I get, again, from our conversation before and now, is just like the cross-cultural themes that are so universal that I don't think people see all the time. Even with women, it can feel very isolating, but like to think that this comes up with women all across the world, these themes.
Exactly.
And yeah. So,
which is why I'm so excited to be here. I'm a Saudi woman living in Riyadh, born and raised here all my life. Yet what we're experiencing is themes globally as women. We are more similar than different. And yeah, we share so much. There's just a power there. And that's something that I also see. I see this global work too happening, because it speaks to all of us.
I'm so happy that you're here and excited, because I think that there's so many, I mean, from spending time in the Middle East, there's so many misconceptions of the West, but just to hear the strength and the universal themes, it's certainly not in us and them.
No.
And I feel like that's coming, we're getting messaging about that. And I'm like, wait a second. Listen and like look at all the things that, I mean, this is much larger than just the two worlds that we exist in, but in general, like, look at all the commonalities.
Yeah. And to discern that, you know, to pause and really, really see the truth for yourself, I feel is part of the work.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just reading a book about, you know, they've done all these studies that if women are given money and power, the whole city or village or wherever they are gets taken care of. And, you know, like, this is a joke and it's certainly not any take on men, but I was at a boat race recently and there was like $1 million boat. And I was like, give a man $1 million and they buy a boat, give us $1 million and everybody will eat. But I think that that leans into that power of like the feminine and the feminine leadership, which is like bringing women together and also like giving women big problems to solve.
Yes. Yes, 100%. There is a sense of like separation of our roles, that we need to be a martyr. We need to just be the girl boss. We need to have these almost fragmenting our being, not knowing that we can lead with power, but not abandon our nurturing, caring, intuitive, empathetic self, that we can still show care and it's not weakness, it's strength, that we can also lead and guide even men that aren't with us and still have that respect and dignity without needing to use tactics, manipulative aspects. You know, we don't need to lose our essence and this truth of being, because oftentimes we can see success, but then there is this abandoning that happens that people almost inevitably just crash after that. So definitely, I think this work is so powerful and it is global, and it is something that is really being burst, I think, into the world. We're having these conversations and we're almost awakening. I feel the consciousness of the world is rising. So being in this time, having all of these insights, even just having sometimes you feel something and it's channeled, and that's not to be dismissed. There is wisdom and there is something that is collectively shifting. And that is the direction we must go to.
That's our call to action. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm ready. We have to go right now. Thank you. When was the last time you felt awe?
Oh, sorry to be so baby oriented, but it was your feet. Yeah, it was definitely feeling that, because it is my first experience and first ever knowing the kind of experience as well. But it was just like, oh, I know right now there's another heart beating inside of me. And this being is the only being currently that knows the beating of my heart from within. Mm-hmm. And a dear, dear mentor told me that the children hear your heartbeats from within. And I was like, oh my goodness, I never even thought of that. And it really left me awestruck, for sure.
Go on. I'm going to call my mom right after this.
Be like, you know, her heartbeat with me.
That's so motherhood. It's amazing in like every aspect. So yes, please. That is, I feel all hearing that. What do you do to feel joy in your life? What makes you feel joyful?
Definitely these genuine connections and really heartfelt conversations. It brings me so much joy. I'm feeling so joyful right now in this moment and grateful, and definitely connection with loved ones. And again, those small moments that we find joy in, those little pockets of joy, as I like to kind of look at it, brings just so much.
Mm, yeah, me too. I just want to tell the story of how we met. We met on LinkedIn, but then I just always think about this so fondly. We had dinner on the rooftop of a sushi restaurant in Riyadh under the full moon. And I was like, who is this? I think it's me.
So that's a fun, joyful night.
It was. And so much connection. I'm so happy to know you. Thank you so much. I have ideas for like 87 more podcasts.
Can we in?
Yeah. So
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for this.
That's it, folks. Another amazing episode of Limitless with Lisa Z. I am inspired and want to give you the homework. Take some notes, take action, do one thing today that can move you towards your dreams. Got feedback? Let us know. You can write to us at lisa@lisazahia.com or visit us online at lisazahia.com.